The title of this message is Atonement, Putting Away Evil. Two men were debating about God and God's existence. The debate was going back and forth. And one man stunned the other man. He said, "Yes, I do believe there is a God. I can see that. But God is evil." The other guy was shocked. "What did you say?" He said, "God is evil." He couldn't believe it. He said, "Well, why would you say that?" He said, "Well, I've lived through war, and I've seen horrible things in the world, just in my short lifetime, no less all the things I read about." And the other guy was kind of stunned. And if you think about it for a minute, you cannot say there's not evil in this world, can you? Can anybody say there's no evil in the world? There's Darfur, and we can just rattle off a list, depending on what you want to put in there. But the next question I want to ask, the man didn't understand it then, but the other guy understands it now. Who is the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? Let's just look at two scriptures quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The answer to the question, who is the God of this world? Because that's a big part of it. Because one of the big arguments for atheists, well, if there is a God, why is there so much evil in the world? 2 Corinthians 4:4 reads, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." In other words, he's saying the reason these people don't see the truth and believe in Christ is because they're being blinded by the God of this world, who's Satan the devil. Let's go to Ephesians 2:2. We won't spend too much time on this one point, because most of us know this, but it's something I want to just put out there so we understand what we're talking about, and we say remove evil from the world. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past, Paul is referring to these Gentiles who in times past were sinners and pagans, who in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. In other words, he's saying the prince of the power of the air in the society, the world we live in, is Satan the devil, and that's why people are disobedient. Other translations, the words will be about the same. They'll say the God of this age or the God of this world basically has deceived the world and has gotten people to be disobedient to God. That's why there's so much evil in the world. And the God of this world, of course, is not put away yet. But this day, the Day of Atonement, celebrates the putting away of Satan. You know, when angel will grab him and put him in the bottomless pit and lock it up, and just like a man being thrown in solitary confinement, you know, the gate's going to slam shut. He's going to be in the slammer. He'll be locked away. And the demons that, you know, are part of his empire, they're going to be gone. Today we celebrate the putting away of the ultimate source of evil and sin and rebellion, Satan the devil. You know, I think even when I was a kid, and people would discuss philosophical things, I could sense that this was not God's world. Something told me, you know, is this the best that God could do? And the answer is obviously no. This is not God's world. I mean, in a sense, obviously, God controls everything, and he will eventually take over and create a gorgeous, godly society. But the society we live in now is not God's world. I'm not going to read these scriptures, but if you go to 2 Corinthians, read more in 2 Corinthians 4, you'll see that God has blinded the world. Revelations 12:9, you'll see that, the devil has blinded the world. God allowed it. Revelations 12:9, the devil has deceived the entire world. And there are other scriptures as well where it talks about the devil deceiving the world and blinding the world. When God does come back, when Christ comes back and creates his kingdom, just like that song said, we sang the song before last one, when God will rule the entire world, you're going to see paradise. You're going to see one government, one religion, And however God works out all the gruesome details, we don't need to worry about it. God is God. He's very smart. And he'll have men like Abraham, David, Daniel, Paul, who will be spirit beings, and us at a lesser level to help him. It'll be fabulous. Let's go to Revelation 20 and actually read about the event that's going to change the world. Revelation 20. Now, we remember we did the Feast of Trumpets. We read Revelation 19. Christ comes back on a white horse like a hero and says, charge. They blow the trumpet, and he smashes the beast and the false prophet, and the devil is inspiring. He smashes those, throws them into the lake of fire, where Satan will eventually be thrown. But Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel. Note, it wasn't an archangel. God will just give the power to an angel and say, I'm giving you the power, you're going to lock up the devil. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Maybe these are spiritual chains or maybe it's symbolic, but it doesn't really matter. It's something that Satan can't break out of, he and his demons. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. By the way, it's interesting when you read that. We won't go into that now. We'll talk about it in the last great day at the feast. But when Satan is let loose for just a little while, the world rebels again. It just shows you he is the heart of rebellion, sin, and evil. And obviously, he's very, very good at what he does. He's good at deceiving people and getting people to go against God and God's law. Anyway, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So he's going to be locked up. During that 1,000-year reign, it'll be perfect paradise. The devil will be locked away. Today, we celebrate the locking away of the devil. And that pattern of a strong man in Israel, or an angel, taking sin away, is what the Day of Atonement is about. Let's go to Leviticus 16 and see the model. I believe the Jewish people, because they have not accepted Jesus Christ, they only see part of the picture. I think we can see the whole picture because we recognize Christ's role in the whole thing. But Leviticus 16, we're going to pick it up in verse 7. Some of what we don't cover is the high priest who represents Christ had to do a whole lot of special offerings and put on special, pure, clean clothes, and get himself ready to play this role. And then in verse 7, Leviticus 16, and he shall take two goats, present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall cast lots upon the two goats. They had special vestments with lots on them for the priest to know what God wanted. God controls the lots. One for the Lord and one for the scapegoat. By the way, the fact you have to cast lots means that human beings cannot tell. And there are scriptures in Corinthians that says, you know, the devil appears as an angel of light, and so do many of his ministers. In other words, humanly speaking, we can't always tell good from evil that easily. So God has to cast a lot. So the high priest knows which one is going to be the sacrifice, which one is going to represent the devil. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And that was, of course, into the hot desert where they were those days. Verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. Now there's a high priest probably holding him by his horn, putting his hands on the live goat, and confesses over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel. In other words, the sins of the entire community, all the nation of Israel, collectively, are put on this goat. And just to make something clear, I know Azazel is how they get the word scapegoat, and it's taken on a connotative meaning in English, but the meaning it had back when this was originally written, the devil is not a scapegoat. The devil deserves having the sins put on his head. He represents this goat. He really is the one behind the scene that keeps stirring the cauldron of evil and violence and hatred in the world. And I don't know what the United Nations will do or what they won't do, but they will never, never, ever, never, ever have an end of war, end of violence, end of all those bad things you can rattle off until Satan is locked up. I guarantee you. And it's going to get worse until Satan is locked up. So, confesses over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a strong man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited. So he goes out into a deserted, hot desert, sort of like the Lake of Fire, anyway. But the sins of the entire society are rightly placed on the devil. Let's just see the New Testament version of this, Hebrews 9. And we can ask more questions and, you know, look at any details we want to look at in it at the Bible study and discuss evil in general and what's coming. But Hebrews 9, basically in the previous chapters, Paul is writing basically Jewish Christians, telling them that Christ is now our high priest. The sacrifices were only there to teach a lesson, like playing a role on a stage. One sacrifice by Christ covers everything. And then he goes on to show the atonement example. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come in a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, as to say, not of this building. Because the tabernacle still stood when he wrote this. But Christ was originally dispatched from the God's temple in heaven. Neither by the blood of goats, calves, or his own blood, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. By the way, the high priest, after he did all those things to clean up himself and put on the special robes and had the incenses, he could go into the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkle some blood, and he had to do certain rituals to cover the sins for that year for the entire nation of Israel. Well, Paul is saying Christ only had to do that once, go to the Father after he died on the cross or stake for us, holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So one blow, so the high priest did both functions when he was Jesus Christ. He both died and his blood covered our sins, and also he's in charge of having a strong man or a strong angel take and lock up the devil. He's in charge of both parts of it. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In other words, Christ did it once. Sometimes we human beings have a hard time forgiving ourselves for our sins. If you sometimes do, and we make sins all the time, because if you say, I'll never sin again, you're lying. A sin can pop out of your mouth just like that. You know, did I say that? You know what I mean, right? You can think an evil thought just like that. And anyway, the point I'm getting at is, if you have a hard time forgiving yourself because you realize you're still human, remember the sacrifice of Christ, which is pictured by the high priest in the Holy of Holies, but Christ did it once in the real Holy of Holies in heaven, is good enough for God. It should be good enough for our conscience. As Paul says, purge your conscience. So don't feel bad about your sins, but try to have a humble, repentant attitude of, I'm going to do better, I'm going to obey God better. But know that Christ's sacrifice is more than great enough to cover your sins. Not that any of us are the most sinful people in the world, but even if we were, it would still be enough to cover our sins. So believe it. Have faith in God. And Christ is the high priest who both died for our sins and will be in charge of having the devil locked up. So remember, the devil is the god of this world. He blinds this world to the truth. He deceives this world. It's almost like truth lies fall in the street and people believe lies. It frustrates me, all the lies that people believe, but This is the devil's world. We should not be surprised, right? I saw those kids on Wall Street, and they were all piping about stuff. And when asked, they didn't have any facts. Somebody gave them the facts. Oh, is that how much the rich people pay? I didn't know that. Well, you're down there demonstrating. You should know what you're... Anyway, I'm going to get to that. But deception, communism has proven a great failure, but I'm sure a lot of people, even to this day, don't know it. It doesn't work. But the point I'm getting at is truth lies falling in the street. The devil has deceived the world about everything, and he inspires evil, like someone heating up a cauldron full of hate and evil and violence and all kinds of bad stuff. a gazelle deep in the jungle in Central Africa wakes up saying, I sure hope I'm able to outrun the fastest lion, because if I don't, I may get eaten alive. The lion wakes up the same morning. He says, I hope I'm able to outrun the slowest gazelle. If not, I will starve to death. Well, I take that story to apply to us. We need to wake up tomorrow and say, I must stay close to Christ to avoid the devil catching up to me and deceiving me. And we should all strive today to try to move fast to get close to Christ and move fast to stay away from the devil. And, of course, try to stay close to Christ all next year. And so two things that I want to talk about today is, one, try to stay close to Christ, and two, try to stay away from the devil and all of his evil influences and take it seriously, because a lot of times people don't take it seriously. And to get closer to God, just need to pray every day, Bible study every day, church attendance, and do our best to, you know, try to discipline our human nature. And avoiding the devil, you just have to say no to yourself. If you think something is bad for you, say no. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul uses the same analogy I just used. Or you could say I stole the idea from him, whichever. 1 Corinthians 9, the idea of the race. And in 1 Corinthians 9, here's what Paul says, verse 24. Know you not that they which run a race run all, one receives the prize, so run they that they may obtain. Verse 25. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. Well, Paul, because they had the Olympics in Greece, so they knew exactly what he meant. You know, they went for the gold wreath and I guess honor and awards if they were winners of the Olympics. Actually, some of the losers got executed. They did some weird things back in those days. He wanted to win. But do you realize that we run for a crown that's much greater? Think about being in God's family. Wow. Think about being in God's family. And being able to straighten out this world, whatever that means, and help people and lift the world up and feed the world. By the way, I'm not against giving charities to starving children or anything like that. We give to charities. But one thing that you'll notice, it doesn't matter. I can't explain it. If 1,000 Americans decide to give $1,000 more to the charities to feed the starving, there'll still be plenty of starving because the devil has got the world screwed up. I'm not against charities or Salvation Army or any of that stuff or food banks. But most of you know what I mean. It doesn't matter how much charity is given. The devil has the world so screwed up, you can't solve the problem, say, of starving kids until you can change the religion, change the government, maybe change some farming practices, bring in some of God's laws regarding family structures. Until you can change all that stuff, you can't really solve the problem. And by the way, there are even children who starve in America where there probably is enough food. At least I'm reading this one book about this one young lady who grew up. Both her families were cokeheads. And they almost starved. And it's a sad story. They had to steal food. And their stomach would burn because their parents would get high for like 2 or 3 days. And they didn't even think about food or the kid. I know it's unbelievable. But you realize you have to straighten out the parents to take care of the kids. And to straighten out the parents, you've got to control society. The point I'm getting at is, if we just do the right thing, we'll be able to help God really straighten out the world where it really matters and it really counts. Verse 27, here's what Paul says. But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. For those that say once saved, always saved, Paul jumps all over that idea almost in every one of his epistles. Paul is saying, you know, we could even be telling other people about true doctrines, but if we don't control ourselves, the devil could get us too. Peter says the devil's like a roaring lion. You know, if you're too proud, he gets you that way, or he gets you through other ways, looking to see who he can get. So we have to avoid certain weaknesses, avoid self-righteousness. We have to, as Paul says, keep your body in subjection. Say no to self if you think you're in an area where the devil is lurking. This day represents kind of a second part of God's plan. That was the first part of God's plan regarding the Passover and Christ dying as our personal salvation offering. And that's wonderful and that's powerful and that's kind of like the number one thing. But the number two thing is God putting Satan away so that the entire community, which will eventually include the entire world, can be saved. And that can't happen until Satan is locked up. He's that powerful. He's that influential. As one man said, when God let Satan loose with Adam and Eve, God was not really surprised that Satan deceived Eve. He wasn't really. Knowing how clever Satan is, so God probably knew then he'd have to have Christ as a Savior. It's probably all in the plans. And salvation for the entire world will not come until Satan is locked up. And we celebrate that today. Since we're in 1 Corinthians, let's keep on, go to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen to them for examples. They're written for our admonishment upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, everything that was written in the Old Testament, he's talking about the Israelites, how they complained and rebelled. Everything in the Old Testament are examples for us, which includes which holy days to keep, by the way, in the Old Testament are for us. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. One of the things that you don't want to do is get overconfident. Have you ever seen somebody get overconfident? Oh, I got it made. And then he messes up. The devil sneaks up on him. Don't get overconfident thinking, oh, I'm so spiritual and pious. The devil could never deceive me. That's, you know, what did Paul say? He that think he stands, take heed lest he fall. There's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able. In other words, Christ can save us if we stay close enough to him. The devil can't get us if we stay close enough to Christ. But if you get too far away, the devil can get you. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. We may be able to bear it. And then he tells them to stay away from idols. So don't be overconfident. The devil is still loose. He's still deceiving people. I actually believe the great falling away, you know, the church had talked about for years, when the WCG fell, people said, oh, that's the great falling away. And that was a big part of it, but it's not over yet. I see the devil still working individuals and groups over and then slowly sliding away from the truth. I see it all the time. The great falling away is still underway, and Satan is still trying to deceive people. And we're not at that point, as the sign says behind me, at one with God. We haven't reached it yet. Let's look at 1 Timothy 1. I threw this in there just to see what a great reward we have if we can just hang in there and stay close to Christ till the end. 1 Timothy 6:16 reads, who only has immortality, he's speaking about Jesus Christ in the previous verse, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, who no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting amen. In other words, Christ is like a burning light that's unapproachable. You'll get burned to a crisp. That's how much power he has. When we're in his family, we will be like that. Maybe we won't be as bright. We won't be as powerful. I don't want to say that. But we'll be, you know, it says in 1 John 3:2, we will see him as he is, for we will be like him. How would you like to be like a star? If you like that terminology. But a star that will be the kind that will last. Movie stars come and go, and record stars come and go. Look at what happened to them. Michael Jackson, you know, they come and go, but we'll be a star that lasts if we just stay close to God, stay close to Christ. He can save us and avoid the evil stuff. I want to show you a stark difference between Satan's world and what is coming. We'll go over to the next chapter, 2 Timothy 3. I'm just going to read the first two verses, but the whole thing is scary. Some translations say it's a dangerous world. 2 Timothy 3:1-2. This know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous or frightening times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. We assume these are adult children, because it wouldn't make sense otherwise, who maybe are living with their parents. Unthankful. I see a lot of people. You owe it to me. You owe it to me. I demand it. Like I'm told, the people on Wall Street, they're demanding free college education, a whole bunch of other free stuff. Well, can America afford that? I mean, we don't think about it. And they're not just saying it would be nice if you could give it to them. They're demanding it. That's how unthankful they are for what they have gotten in life. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, they'd lie in a minute, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Not like any goody two-shoes. Now, that's what I'm saying is the devil is fast ginning up the world to match that scripture. And as we get closer to the end, the world will become more and more that way, where mothers kill their own babies. I don't mean just abortion, even 2 or 3 year old toddlers, because the baby was inconvenient. Or, I mean, just weird things are going to go on more and more. Evil, fierce. That's the world as the devil stokes the influence of evil in this world. And I heard a commentator say, he was saying, on all revolutionaries, how do they have to have an army? Of course, you know, the Nazis had the SA, the stormtroopers in brown shirts, and Mussolini had the black shirts. The communists, well, at least Mao had the Red Guard, and they terrorized their parents and teachers. You might remember some of those stories. The Red Guard, all these groups were young people that did the dirty work for the dictators. Of course, then they later stabbed them in the back and they lived the worst life. But young people don't know anything. So this commentator said, well, the current revolutionaries in Europe and America and the Middle East, where will they get their army? And he said, the college students and the high school students. And I thought, that does make sense. At least the devil will try to do it. Whether God will allow him to do it to America may depend on just how bad off this country is. And I'm not saying I know how bad off we are or not. America's kind of confusing. You see a lot of bad things, then you see some reasonably good people, and I don't know how to balance the two out, but I believe that's what the devil is shooting for. You ought to read sometime about what the Red Guard did in Mao Zedong's China. I don't even know how they did it, but they unleashed these mostly high school, junior high school kids, and they told them, that, of course, communism had failed economically, and there probably were some of the older people and politicians and teachers who were questioning Mao's wisdom because it was a dreadful failure. And they said, you should beat up your teachers and your parents. They had teachers and older men on their knees and teenagers beating them, and you had to confess that you're a counter-revolutionary and you're not, and it was, you have to see it, it's really ugly. If you get to see any of those videos of the Red Guard. But similar things happen in some of these other weird dictatorships of that sort. You know the devil had to love that kind of thing. Teenagers beating up their seniors and running rampant and burning and stealing and looting until it sort of burned itself out eventually. But I just wonder if that's where we're headed. But I'm not going to guarantee that's where we're headed, because maybe it's hard to know. And maybe, but I did hear this, a lot of people under 35 that are unemployed, almost 40%, that creates a lot of restless people. And the Great Depression certainly helped Hitler line up a lot of people for some of his thugs who did some of his dirty work. So I can see the potential for the devil stirring up more and more evil. Compare that evil to the paradise we'll get when Christ comes back and locks up the devil. It's evil, stark evil, paradise when Christ gets back. And I believe the devil will try to soon get people hedonistic. They call it nouveau pagan or something like that, new pagan. Selfish, cold-hearted people. That's what the devil is ginning up, and I believe it is coming. Verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I believe as we get close to that date, the beast and the false prophet and other bad guys get operating, it will get worse and worse. He'll stoke up evil more and more. So you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. I don't know how fast. I don't want to scare you because I don't want you to think it's necessarily tomorrow. It could be 5, 6, 7 years off. But I'm sure, as the Bible is the Word of God, it's coming, and it's not all that far away. It's not all that far away. I saw those Wall Street people. Now, right now, they don't have the great numbers yet. But I saw the direction they're pushing young people in. Hopefully, they won't get the numbers. I'm saying hopefully. 14. But continue you in the things which you've learned and has been assured of knowing of whom you've learned them. Even though the world's going to get worse and worse, we should continue to try to get closer and closer to God. One thing about fasting, it helps you realize how weak you are. You know, we're not doing anything, not eating, and we feel terrible. So we should use this humbling of fasting. We get home to pray and get close to God. And, you know, try to run hard and stay close to God the whole rest of the year. As the world gets more evil, we should try to get closer to God. Run hard away from the evil. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 3. And that from a child, now this is Timothy he's writing. He's probably 35 or so, 40. That from a child, thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, what scriptures were, this is believed to be 66 A.D. The New Testament is just beginning to be formed, but won't be canonized for another 4 or 5 decades. So he couldn't be talking about the New Testament. It's just a letter to Timothy at this point, and most of them, at least a good deal of them, haven't been written yet. So what scriptures is he talking about? The Old Testament. So anyone who tells you, but the Day of Atonement is primarily mentioned in the Old Testament. It is mentioned a little bit in the New, too, but mostly the Old Testament doesn't mean we shouldn't keep it. I just want to make that point. Let's go to Leviticus 25. There's another point that I want to make as we're getting close to the end. I used to say, you're getting hungry and you want to eat, but I can't say that anymore. Leviticus 25. But there's an interesting thing here in Leviticus 25. We'll pick it up in verse 9 and 10. Now, let me give you the background. What they did is every 7 years, if someone, you could only loan somebody, a brother in Israel, money for 7 years, and then the debt was over. All debts were forgiven. And then there are some other things. I don't get into all the details. But every 50 years, any land that had been lost by the family went back to the original family, regardless whether they could pay it or not. In a way, that kept you from getting such income disparity, because mostly it was an agricultural society, and land was capital. So if your family had a certain set of land, and you had to sell it because you're in bad shape, well, maybe your grandson will get it back free, because at the end of 50 years, it went back. To the original family. And they called it the Jubilee year, when everybody, all debts were clear and all ends. It was a time of freedom. Verse 9, then shall you cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout the land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all inhabitants thereof. In other words, let me finish reading the verse thereof. And you shall, it shall be a jubilee unto you. You shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Also, I think if some people were sold as servants too, same principle. The point is, this the atonement was the day of the jubilee. It's a day of liberty. It's a day of freedom. It's a day when you get all the debts off your back. Well, can you see that sin is like a debt on the back of society as a whole? This day that you see behind me on the sign represents liberty for all mankind. And the first thing you got to do is defeat the devil's army and take the devil and lock him up, he and his demons, in the bottomless pit. And I think we should celebrate. Also, just as an aside, let's say if somebody has offended you and you are mad at them, I think you should forgive them, because just like everybody had to forgive all the debts on atonement, forgive all your personal debts. If Christ forgave you, you should forgive them. And then you're going to say, but what if they haven't fully acknowledged their guilt and they haven't really offered me restitution? I still say, on a day like today, you should forgive them. Now, you still might want your money back if it's money you lost, but I wouldn't hate them. I'd forgive them because that's what God would want on a day like today. And Christ said to forgive your enemies, even if they're bad. You know, because he didn't say only forgive the good ones, because that's easy. Let's go to Romans 5 for the last scripture. In Romans 5. At least you'll be a little closer to eventually eating. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. In other words, we're justified by faith in Christ, because Christ did represent one of the goats that was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. And he's the one that provided the blood. So this day also represents Christ dying for the entire community, for all the world, for all mankind, for all Israel. And if we do that, we have the hope of glory. Isn't that a great thing? The hope of glory. Little old you and me. Remember, so don't get self-righteous. The high priest did all the work on atonement. The people did nothing. They didn't even eat. So don't get self-righteous, because the devil likes that too. And remember, in closing, get closer to God by humbly repenting and run away from the devil, because he's going to try to make things worse and worse until the day he's locked up.